guys buy that at all? You should buy more worship music. It's really, there's some really awesome stuff out there. Blah, blah, blah. It's good for you. It's worship. You know, to worship the Lord, I think whenever we hear them starting up, we should start up. It should be part of our life to worship the Lord with all our heart, with all our strength. It should be like just every time you kind of, like I sometimes am walking through the mall and I hear something, some, you know, Hillsong or something like that playing, and all of a sudden I'm almost like singing along walking through the mall. It's awesome because when we use our words to express praise to God, like I think we got to get ready for heaven, right? And when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing and praising and dancing and jumping. And the Bible says there's going to be such a big noise that everything's going to shake. So you all are pretty quiet. So we need to learn to make things shake a bit. Worship is such an important, we just went through this last year, the presence of God. We need to know, really, our life is like a sort of a three-legged stool. And sometimes we're missing a leg or we're missing two legs of our stool. We need to have a life of worship. We need to sing to the Lord. We need to continually, you know, with the fruit of our lips, the Bible says, giving thanks to His name. We need to be singing to the Lord. I don't care how bad you sing. I don't care if you're a horrible singer. Even if your family mocks you, like mine does once in a while. You just sing to the Lord because I think it's such a powerful part. When we think about, you know, the three archangels, the one was for worship. That was Lucifer, and he fell. But our job as believers is to fill that place and worship God with all our heart. The other archangel was the messenger angel, the word, always brought the word, came to Mary and gave her the word, came to Joshua, gave her the word. We need to have the word in our life. It can't be just a bypassing thing. It can't just be something we throw on our coffee table, you know, on Sunday afternoon and leave it there. I don't even know if people have coffee tables anymore, but whatever, you know, you throw your Bible and you don't look at it till the next. We need to have the word as part of our life, and we need to have prayer. You know, we need prayer. There's the prayer is the warring angel, the one who made war, the one who fought, you know, to get to Daniel. He said, I fought my way here. I heard your prayer was heard, and I fought my way here. And prayer is really warring. It's really taking from the spiritual realm and bringing it into the physical realm. So we need to have a life of prayer. We need to have a life of worship. We need to have a life of the Word. And those three things are kind of what our life is based in as believers. We need to have all three. If you have one or two, it's all right, but it's kind of like off balance. You need to have all three. So if you're strong in reading your Bible, that's awesome. But get a life of prayer. Get a life of worship. If you're strong, you love to sing, and you're singing all the time to the Lord, then develop in these different areas. We need to grow. We need to keep growing. So this year is really about the Word. We're going to strengthen that. Last year, we were really working on, you know, the presence of the Lord and worship. And this year, we're really working on the Word of God and getting that into our heart. You know, like I always try and think of, you know, different themes, you know, for the year, but I really felt God drop this theme, you know, on me pretty hard this year. That is where we need to go as a church to really have a stronger sense of His Word in our life, a stronger, not only just reading His Word and sort of knowing it, but letting it become part of our life. Ed mentioned that, you know, like don't just read it. Think about those words that were read. Let you see yourself in that place, in that walk in those shoes, right? So when the word says that God's given you everything you need for life and godliness, and then think about that. Think about you're walking through your day, and so, you know, you have this person that every day at work they get on your nerves, right? But this scripture is settling in your heart. God's giving you everything you need for life and godliness. So He's giving you the strength to deal with that person. He's giving you the wisdom to help that person. He's giving you what you need to get through that day, because God's word has what you need. But you need to settle in your heart. You need to think about how God can work in your life and how the word works in your life. So we're at the beginning of a year. I guess we're 3 weeks in now. It's 2018. It's like weird. It's like, where did 18 years go since, you know, Y2K? It's like, but anyway, remember that Y2K, everybody's hiding money in their house, make sure your cistern's full, you know, like have your computers. Everybody spent a fortune on their computers. So here we are 18 years later, starting out our year. And I think we all have things we want to change. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. I find less and less. They say, but why bother? I'm not going to keep them anyway. And it's probably true, right? And so we set goals for our life and some things that we want to change. Some people, you know, you want to get more healthy. So you go, you know, join a gym or you eat better and you get healthier. Some people, you know, you want to get smarter. So you start reading or you sign up for a class or you do whatever. You know, other people, you know, they just want to get rid of some addictions. So they say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go out and drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke up. I'm not going to go to those websites. I'm not going to do all these things that, you know, hold my life in bondage. I want to change. And mostly that lasts, you know, for an hour or two, or maybe a week, or sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, there's been some changes I've made in my life that, like, you know, I kept for 6 or 8 months. And then you stop for a week, and then you can't get back to it, right? Because the change hasn't happened on the inside. It's just, you're just trying to fight it, but really the change hasn't settled. So at the beginning of the year, often we kind of evaluate our past year, and we look to the new year, and we kind of think, well, this is the things that need to change. I think one of the important things to remember, we have the Sabbath. That's today. This is our Sabbath. Sunday is our day. We start the day. We start the week in church, right? We start the week together with believers. But then we start our week, too, as we settle into the afternoon to just kind of evaluate. It's really important, I think, to evaluate your week. Was your week spent serving God? Was it of value? Was what you did important, or was it just a waste of time? Did you, like, watch 3 seasons of a show on Netflix, or did you, did you do something valuable with your time? I won't say I've never done those things, because I have. You know, sometimes you just get wrapped up, but every week it's good to just develop and grow and just evaluate and make commitments for the next week. So, you know, people, though, and us, too, oftentimes we look at things that need to change and we say, well, we want to change, but we just can't change. Anybody ever felt like that? Can't change sort of the way I am? I mean, when I was young, I was kind of an idiot, kind of goofy, kind of did stupid things. And, you know, I thought, well, this is fun. Why would I want to change? And now, you know, like, I'm not as young as I once was, but I'm still pretty young. And I've left those things behind because it's stuff that needed to change. So we look around us, though, we see so much stress and fatigue and anxiety and depression and discouragement. These are all big issues in our culture, probably big issues in this room, people struggling with things and being anxious about things. But really, God's word has given us, you know, the answers. People are worn out and don't know how to turn things around. What we really need to do, though, is we really need to connect to God, and we need to connect to his word. His word is given to us not just for, you know, a nice leather-bound book that we read on Sunday mornings, and even now most people. I remember one guy was struggling in his walk with God, and he blamed the computer, like our screen. He says, I don't even have to bring my Bible to church anymore because you got that screen, so I don't even pick up my Bible on Sunday. I go, well, that's not the screen's fault. That's your fault, right? You got to take responsibility for your own walk with God. But like so many times, we don't even pick up our Bibles. But the Bible has the answer to every question there is in this world. Every question. God's given us everything we need in it. You know, people are worn out, don't know how to turn things around. And we need to just really tap into God and his word so that we can see his plan for our life. He has a plan. You know, we read so many times. You see it now in so many plaques, Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for you, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope in the future. And we like that, you know. But we have to get into the plan. We have to let his word get in our heart and change us and bring us to that place where we can live a fulfilled life, a peaceful life, and a free life. So what about you? Do you want to make changes this year? Or do you want to just push rewind on last year? Like, I don't know about you. Some years you like to rewind because they were pretty good. Some years not so good. But I don't know. I want to keep growing. I want to keep learning and have God do some new things in my life. I think, like, you know, it's so easy to get stuck. It's so easy to get stuck when you're doing well because you kind of just settle, right? Like, I don't know about you. My hardest time to serve the Lord is when things are going well because then I get kind of lazy. I kind of, like, don't put the effort out. Everything's going okay. I don't really need that right now. And then, you know, other people, they struggle when they're having a hard time because then they're mad at God about different things. But wherever you are today, don't stay stuck. God's word has the ability to pull you from where you are into where he wants you to be. This year could be a better year, a stronger year, a wiser year than last year. So Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son." So if he knew you, and he did, his plan and his purpose is to make you like Jesus. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to think the thoughts of Jesus, to live the life of Jesus. He wants us to have that way. God already decided that he wants you to be like Jesus. He wants us to have Jesus' heart. He wants us to think the thoughts of Jesus, have the attitudes of Jesus, to be Christ-like. That's why they call us Christians, because we're supposed to be like Christ. Christians actually means Christ ones, that we're like him, that we belong to him and he belongs to us. Our goal, though, is to love like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. So we all have thoughts and behaviors that are not like Jesus. Anybody admit that? All you are perfect already? I got lots of thoughts and behaviors that aren't like Jesus. Sometimes I do really good, you know, like, and I walk away and I think, well, that was better. And then other times I get in traffic and I'm like, God help me to be new because I don't do so well in traffic, you know. But we need to have the heart of Jesus. We have to learn to think God's thoughts. So how are we going to get from where we are to where God wants us to be? How do we get there? We get there by renewing our minds. And so this series I'm preaching right now is from a book by Casey Treat called Renewing the Mind 2.0. You can buy it on Amazon. It's like $20 or something on Amazon.ca. If you order it today, it'll probably be in your mailbox by Tuesday. You can start reading. It's a really good book, really practical, really easy read. Ed told me he read his through already. He said it's really just a really easy read and really helpful. So just I would suggest if you have $20, go buy the book. It's worth the money. But and then you'll be able to, you know, sort of have an idea what we're doing as we go through each week. So God wants us to have a better life, right? God's plan for us is good. If we rewind to the creation, right, we were in the garden. We were tending the garden. So there was work in the garden, but it was good work. Tending the garden, keeping the garden, hanging out with God, you know, in the cool of the day, you know, speaking to God, letting God show us around what he'd done for us, what he created. I always wonder, like, you know, like the Bible sometimes it's like doesn't fill in all the blanks, right? Like there's just some spots where you just wonder. So sometimes I just park somewhere and start thinking about what it was like. But I was wondering, like, you know, when you're Adam and Eve, you're created and you're in this great place where God's there every day. And God's a creative God. So I'm wondering if, like, even while he was, you know, showing Adam and Eve around the garden, if he was just making some new good spots. I don't know. Have you ever, anybody here do landscaping? You do this nice spot in your garden or you find this really nice place and you just, like, it's beautiful and you just want to bring someone so they can see what it looks like, right? So you bring them there. And I was just wondering, like, if that's what it was like. Hey, Adam and Eve, come on, I want to show you something, you know? So he created us in this great place of just being with God and being in his presence. And just he has a good plan for our life, and we have to realize that. He has something good for you. But we have to participate. We have to get into it with him. We have to move it along. So sitting in church every Sunday is not going to move you along. It doesn't. If you think that just sitting here is going to move you along, I know lots of people sat in church their whole life, didn't even know Jesus. I know lots of people have sat in their whole church their whole life, even gave their heart to Jesus, and just never, ever really figured out that life could be better than what it is. They complain, and they whine, and they carry on their whole life, and life is always hard, and life's always a struggle, and sometimes life is all hard, and life is a struggle, but not all the time. And God wants to keep moving you, so just being in church doesn't do it. Just giving your heart to Jesus doesn't move you along, right? We have to get into and participate in the process of renewing our minds. So, you might ask yourself this question. What difference does how I think make in my life? Like, what I think, how I think, how does that affect my life? Well, it affects it in a big way. It affects it in mighty ways. Truth is, one thought could have a major impact on you and on your future and on the future of your family and the future of your, just down through the ages, your friends, everything. My father was a church attender, right? When we were kids, he attended church. He wasn't passionate for the Lord. He went because it was a religious duty to him. He went because that's what you do, right? You go to church. That's how he was raised. So he did it, and he dragged us. So we went to church. And if Dad had any reason to stay out of church, he stayed out of church. Like, you know, if a watering bowl overflowed in the barn that he could probably clean up in 5 minutes, he would be like, well, I can't come today. I got to go clean up the barn. You know, so that's the way he was. I remember when we were kids, he helped out in cadets. You know, that was the boys group at church. And the pastor said to him, Brother Ralph, can you pray? And he looked at him and said, that's what you get paid for. You pray, right? That's the way he was. He didn't care. But then one day someone gave him a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And he read the book, and this thought settled in his mind. If I were to die today, would I go to heaven? And he didn't know. He was asking the question. So he went to the church and asked the minister, if I die today, will I go to heaven? And the preacher sort of, well, we're pretty sure, and it's pretty, you know, but no clear answer, no confident answer about that. He called the elders of the church to come and talk to him about it. And they didn't have a clear answer for him. And so he started reading his Bible. With this thought, if I was to die today, would I go to heaven? And the day came where he committed his life to Christ fully. He surrendered to Jesus, and he was a changed man. Like, seriously, we went from, like, attending church sporadically to all of a sudden we were attending church, like, every night. We went everywhere. We had, you know, a drug problem, as one of the Christian comedians say. We got drugged to church. We got drugged to, like, home fellowship meet. We got drugged here. We got drugged there. We got drugged everywhere. Like, I'm serious. Like, we spent our life as kids for about 8 or 9 years, probably, with a few pieces of paper, our Hot Wheels cars, and some coloring pens. You know, we'd sit there in church, and we'd write and draw pictures. My mom would be feeding us King peppermints because she just wanted us to stay quiet. We went from, like, really just didn't know what to do about church to, like, all of a sudden we were going to this little home group and we were clapping our hands and we were singing, where before it was all, you know, like, really somber. And we were just like, but it changed our life. Our life went from being just religious, you know, observers of church rules to being in a relationship with Jesus. And because of that, my dad, you know, he started losing his interest. His whole life was farming, pig farming back. He loved it. It was all that he was about. And all of a sudden, he fell in love with Jesus, and he was speaking at Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings all over the place. And so, like, we were helping with the farm, and, you know, we were traveling all over the place in Dad's life. Then he became a pastor. And today I'm a pastor because my dad had a thought, really. And my kids are going to grow up serving the Lord, and their kids are going to grow up serving, because my dad had one thought that got in his head. Would I go to heaven, really, if I died? That's how important one thought is. One thought, one biblical thought could change your life forever, today. I'm just telling you, it changed our life so much. Because of that one thought, I think about this often. I've traveled around the world sharing the gospel. I've been in many countries, like, where I've got to preach God's word and share God's word with other people. I mean, God has opened so many doors, you know, for my life because Dad had that one thought that got in his head. Now, there was a lot of thoughts after that, but that one thought changed our family tree. Do you want a thought? Do you really want a change in your life, or do you want to stay where you are? Well, you might say, well, my family already serves the Lord, so what difference will that make? There's just so many things that can happen when you just will learn to, you know, trust God and to hear His voice and let His word get into you. So back in the Garden of Eden, we were just talking about that, but Eve and Adam were living in this place where everything was perfect. Everything was wonderful, right? The grass was green, the sky was blue. It's like 75, sunny and 75, you know, beautiful weather. It's like that country song, sunny and 75. It's beautiful, like it was nice. And God walked with them. Imagine that. God walked with them. That's amazing, right? And then the serpent came. And the serpent dropped a thought in Eve's mind, right? And let's read it. It says, the snake, in Genesis 3, verse 1, was more clever than all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He asked the woman, the snake asked the woman, did God really say? Did God really say that? Did He really say that you can't eat? Because what really God meant is if you do, you'll be as wise as Him. And it really doesn't say in the Bible how long she thought about it. She thought about it, and that thought got in her head. And we can't even start to count the amount of damage that has been wreaked on this earth because of that one thought that Eve got in her head from the serpent. So, you know, if we let thoughts in, thoughts can change our life. We could be, one really biblical thought away from having our lives transformed. One thought. So our thoughts are really important. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order to prove by you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. The Greek word for transform is metamorphosis. It's that same word that is used when a bug, like a caterpillar, goes into a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. Same word. It metamorphosizes. I don't know if that's a word, but it goes through metamorphosis. The same thing. That's what happens. So it goes in being one thing and comes out being something totally different and totally unrecognizable. My dad, that thought changed him from being one person to being a totally different person. And I don't know about you, but I've had some thoughts that have changed me too. But renewing the mind is really important. It's important that we could actually change. So if you're stuck today, if you feel like an ugly caterpillar and you feel like you're useless, and then you need to be transformed. And like I say that, and I know what people think. I know how people. I've talked to enough people over my life that I know that there's people here in this room that say to themselves, yeah, other people can change, but I can't change. I struggle with reading the Bible, but nobody else struggles. I struggle with this. And everybody thinks they're the only one that struggles. But realistically, if you talk to each other, you find out most people struggle with the same thing. Right? But if you need a change today, you can change. But you have to get into the process. You have to engage. You have to take God's word, let it get in your life, let it get in your heart, let it get in your head, and let it change you. Be transformed, right? Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing the mind isn't easy. It's hard. It's relentless. It's work. It's not always fun, right? Have you ever tried to change something about yourself? Have you ever tried to develop a new habit? Like, I remember last year I got a Fitbit, like, and like at first it was kind of fun because, like, you know, you have to walk your 10,000 steps. And it doesn't sing or beep or do anything like that. But every time you look at it and you haven't reached your 10,000 steps, you feel guilt and you feel shame. And you feel like the whole world knows that you're a loser and you can't do enough steps in a day. So you work at it, right? So then you work at it, you work at it. I remember one night I had like 9,500 steps and it was windy and rainy and icy outside. And I'm like, ah. So I'm down in my basement walking around my pool table, and the kids are looking at me like, Dad, you're nuts. You're crazy. But you just feel, so you get into this, and it was hard. Like, it was hard. But then after a while, I just got into a routine. I went, you know, I got out of my car in town. I went for a walk in the morning, and usually on my way back from work, I'd stop in town, go for another walk. And then Christine would go for a walk with me in the evening, and then I'd have, like, 12 and 15,000 steps sometimes. And then my Fitbit broke, and I was singing, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'm actually thinking to go buy a new one because I probably should walk more. But like, this change is hard. Change is not easy. It's important, though. And it's possible. Change is possible. God is not an evil trickster who tells you to do something and then laughs at you because you can't do it. He doesn't say to you, be transformed by renewing your mind, and then laugh at you because you can't do it. It's possible, but it's hard. And most people, when they think something is hard, they don't want to do it. I remember when we used to have the school here, and there was this one English pace. Like, so a lot of the kids came out of the public school, and they came into this school, and they had to learn how to diagram sentences, and they had to learn how to, like, what a noun and a pronoun and an adjective and an adverb and all those things were. And, like, they didn't know. And these were, like, high school kids. And this pace or this part of the learning was, like, for grade five, right? And so, like, they feel embarrassed, number one, because they got to do a grade five piece of learning. And then they all hate it because it's too hard. And they all tell each other before they start, it's too hard. And then they decide, it's too hard, I can't do it. I remember there's a couple math ones that were the same. They said, too hard, I can't do it. And they don't even try. They just give up, throw up their hands, say, I can't do it. How many of us have done that with life? We just say, it's too hard, I can't do it. But change is possible. It's challenging. You don't go to the Olympics and get a medal for making a peanut butter and jam sandwich. You don't get a medal for getting off your chair. You get a medal for doing something hard better than anybody else does it. So hard isn't bad. Hard, things that are challenging make life more interesting. Usually it's more fun looking back at those challenging times than looking forward at them. Right? After you already won the medal, you feel a lot better than before you won the medal. Right? I remember just in this, I don't remember what it's called. They played hockey in Buffalo, I think it was called World Juniors, right? Swedish guy, the captain of the Swedish team, they won silver. And he was so ticked off, he threw his medal up into the stand. That's not good enough, right? But so many times we're willing to settle for not even trying for a medal. Let's try. Let's do something hard this year. Let's transform and renew our minds by God's word. Let's try that. Let's do something hard. Let's not throw up our hands and say it's not possible, but let's try. It's possible. When we renew the mind, it changes who we are from the inside out. And we start to see ourselves as God sees us. We're in this process of changing who we think we are in our heart. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if we're going to change who we are, we have to change our heart. And that comes by the word of God. And here in John 15, verse 7 and 8, Judah used this scripture the other night at youth. I think he did. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. This is abiding in God. This is spending time with him. This is letting his word. It says, if you abide in me first, right, and my word abides in you, then you will ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. It's simple. But I'm not talking here about like rubbing a lamp and making a genie come out, right? It's not like having a book of spells, and if you say the right thing the right amount of times the right way, then what you want will go poof and show up. This is not what this life of faith is about. It's about being transformed in our hearts and in our minds so that the way we see life is different than the way we used to see it. It's our thought processes change that we don't even see things the way we used to see it. talking about a lifestyle of taking the Word of God, seeing what it says about you, thinking about that, and meditating on that till you can see what the Word of God says applies to you and has literally changed you from the inside out. So, when I was young, I was really kind of like a needy kid. I was pretty lonely, and I was pretty, like, I felt like a lot of people didn't like me. So, I felt quite lonely. Like, I knew my family loved me, but how many of you know when you're a kid, that doesn't really count, right? You want to have friends. It seemed like every friend I made, you know, betrayed me, and I was, like, really insecure. Like, everywhere I went, I felt insecure. I felt like people didn't like me, and people didn't care about me. Boo-hoo, wah-wah. It was who I was. I just felt that way all the time. And I remember one of my friends that I thought was my best friend at the time betrayed me. I don't even remember what he did, but I know it was bad, and I was really upset. It was a long time ago. And so I was hurt really bad by it. I was so hurt. And I'm walking around in my field, and I'm, like, mad. And I'm upset. And I'm like, God, why can't I have a friend? God, why can't somebody care about me? Why can't I have someone I can trust? Why can't I? And I remember God, like, one of the few times in my life where I really felt like God spoke to me audibly. And he said, Ralph, I love you. I'm like, wow. And that changed. That moment changed things for me and about how I perceived my life, right? Because I realized that God loved me. See, I think miracles are really important. I think miracles are another one of those things that's not going to get you there. It's one of those things that'll start you on the pathway to having a renewed mind. And sometimes it'll help you just get a little unstuck from your way of thinking. But when that happened to me, it changed the way I thought to the place where I really felt like, well, if God loves me, then, like, if you don't love me, well, right? So I really felt like it was an encounter with God. But I won't say that I never had the opportunity to feel that way about myself again. I still get those opportunities from time to time where you just feel like, you know, like, really? Like, you did that to me? Like, and that hurt? Right? So what I did at that time, and not even on purpose, when I look back, when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about it, but I really started to dig into God's word about how he saw me. Right? I started to think about what God had to say about me. I wrote down some of them because my memory is always bad when I'm speaking, you know. But that God loved me, right? The Bible says, and I use the scripture a lot, it's because it's important. I feel these are important things, that God put his love on display. While I was of no use to him whatsoever, he died for me. Right? So God loves me regardless of who I am and what I'm doing at the time. God loves you. I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to renew your mind. You don't have to at all. It's your choice. You can go to heaven and not renew your mind. God will not love you less because you don't renew your mind. He loves you. He's committed to you. Even while you were of no use to him whatsoever, he loves you and he died for you. Right? But then I started thinking about, like, this scripture, right? Even as a father has compassion for his children, God had compassion for those who fear him. And do you ever have something that just all of a sudden just locked into place? You're trying to understand something. You're trying to understand it. Maybe you're working on a car. Like, sometimes when I'm working on a car or a computer, I'm trying to figure something out. And all of a sudden, I get it, right? Well, the greatest moment of revelation for me about God's love for me when I was walking in the hospital with Levi, right? Like, tiny, like 6 pounds, just like so. And I'm walking down the hallway, and I feel so much love for this ugly little thing I'm holding in my hand, right? Wrinkled up, all red, right? And I'm like, I love this thing. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. I can't believe it. Everybody else's baby is ugly, but mine is handsome. He's so handsome. Like, and I was just, like, totally overwhelmed with love for this bundle that I was holding. And I realized in that moment, this is how much God loves me. This is how much God loves me. He loves me so much. And this is part of the renewal process for every Christian. You need to start here to understand God's love, that he loves you. Like he's not kept us at a distance, the Bible said, but he's drawn us near by his name. He's called us sons and daughters of God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He hasn't left us out in the cold. He hasn't said you're servants, you're just peons, you're just this or that. But he said, you're my son, you're my daughter. And when that thought, right, comes into my mind, the Bible said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said that about us. And so, like, whenever the thought comes to me now, like, you don't have any friends, nobody really cares about you, I'm like, go away. Like, seriously, it's not true. I know the love of God for me. I know I have friends that are committed. I know, because now it's not just a thought or an idea in my head, but it's dropped into my heart. God's drawn a picture by his word in my heart of who I am, and I believe it. And honestly, I love you all. But if you don't really like me, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I probably will be no one here. But like, honestly, I don't do it because you like me or you're pleased with me. I do this because I want to please God. And I don't need you for like my affirmation anymore. There was a time where I really needed it. But I don't need that because I found that in God. I've renewed my mind to know that it's God's love that I need and God's love that is going to pour out in my life. And you could change too. We can all change. It's like Rocky, right? Adrian! No. Remember in the Russian, the one who was fighting the Russian? If we could change and he could change, we could all change. We could change. It's true. Sorry you had to be there. So, I'm working at different things right now. Like, I'm working at different things in my life that I need to change. And we should all be. If you think you're done changing, if you think you're done growing, you need to just give your head a shake because you're not done. Jesus, right? So Jesus wants us to, God wants us to think the thoughts of Jesus. Really, the whole idea of this series is if we think the thoughts of Jesus, it will lead us to the life of Jesus. And here's the good thing about thinking the thoughts of Jesus. When we get led into the life of Jesus, we have to remember this one thing. Jesus died. So, like, Jesus' life wasn't easy. So if you think that this is going to lead you to a life with no struggle, no pain, no problem, you're wrong. It's not. Because when you live the life of Jesus, you're going to take on some things for the gospel that you didn't really know right now. There's part of our life, you know, we give up for the gospel. There's things that we die to because Jesus asked us to die for them. To that, and there's going to be a cost in serving God. It's important that Jesus didn't have an easy life, and ultimately gave his life for you and me. The scripture though said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you can ask, and it will be done." So whenever we get in those places where it's tight, God will come and help us. Jesus said this over and over again: "I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say." And look at the life he led. Right? We're not going to ever be Jesus. Like, we're not going to be asked to give our life for sinful humanity. We won't be asked to do that. But Jesus had a huge impact on the world. Jesus was fully man, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he rocked the world by what his life. And we can rock the world with our life if we live for him. So we need to only do what we see the Father do and only say what we hear the Father say. And we can have an impact too. This is what the Jewish ruler said about the disciples in Acts 4, verse 13. He said, after they found out that Peter and John had no education or special training, they were surprised to see how boldly they spoke, and they realized that these men had been with Jesus. Wouldn't you like people to realize that when they meet you, that you have been with Jesus? And we have that opportunity every day to be with Jesus. We get that opportunity to live in fellowship and in life with him, and to grow so that people can start to recognize that we have been with Jesus. Are you happy where you are? Or do you want to change and grow? Do you like being stuck, or is there something new in your future? The question is, will you adjust your priorities? Because it takes a priority adjustment. It takes making God's word a priority in our life. This is what Sir Francis Drake said. I love this saying. He wrote this in 1577. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrive safely because we sailed too closely to shore. It's really, you know, like, are you going to live life safe or are you going to try? Are you going to go for something harder? So when we talk about renewing our mind, we need to understand that when Jesus walked the earth, that he was committed to this idea. He was committed to training your mind, to renewing your mind. Like, we think about Jesus, and what did Jesus do most when he was on the earth? Like, when he was in his ministry time, what did he do most? Does anybody know? Yeah, he taught. A lot of people think, well, he healed a lot. That's what he did. And he did. He healed a lot of people. But it wasn't what his whole life was about. He fed people. He fed 5,000 people and a couple times. Many people he fed, but it wasn't what his life was. His life was about teaching. And in fact, he took 12 men and spent his whole life trying to teach those guys. It says in Matthew 9, verse 35, that Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues and preached the good news about the kingdom and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. He even got really frustrated with his disciples because they weren't picking it up. So if you're not picking it up as quick as you think you should, have hope, because the disciples really are, 12 disciples are really, you know, the church is now over 2 billion people strong in the world, maybe getting close to 3 now. And it's doing well. It's growing, right? But it's because 12 guys who Jesus said this about them. What a generation in Luke 9, verse 41. What a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I need to have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? And then he said to the man who was approaching him, because his disciples couldn't cast a devil at him, he said, bring your son here, I'll do it. Right? So the disciples didn't grow fast, but they did. They grew and they changed. And they changed the world. The problem is that the disciples were having is they did not see themselves the way that God saw them and the way that Jesus had tried to reveal to them that they were. Are we having trouble seeing ourselves the way God sees us? Do you have trouble seeing yourself the way God sees you, right? Is there a part of our mind that still needs to be renewed? There's some times I sit down with people, and many of you, and you know, and I'm not going to call out names because it really doesn't matter, but like I sit down and people tell me, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I go, I think you can. I actually think you could do this. You could pull this off. Just try. Try hard. Do your best. And most of the time you do. Because God sees you in a different way than you see yourself. He sees you in a different way. So we all can relate to this. If someone has anorexia or bulimia, right? It's a disease that helps people see themselves really in a false way. So these people either starve themselves to death or they throw up all their food, right? But they get so skinny, they just become skin over bones and deteriorated and malnourished to the point that it really doesn't look good. It looks so thin and frail and horrible, like really. But when they look in the mirror, they see fatty looking back at them. Like they see me. When they look in the mirror, they see me and they go, oh, that's what I look like. And then they starve themselves more and because they don't see the truth about themselves staring back at them. Maybe I'm seeing the wrong picture in the mirror, too. Maybe I'm skinny. Anybody? No? My clothes tell me the truth. But, like, honestly, we so many times can see, right? We look in the mirror and we do not see ourselves clearly. We do not really see who God has said we are. We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And the way to clear that up really is to get God's word into your heart. Really understand, right? So many of us are the same. We look at our lives and we say that change is not possible. We say that what I see about me, this can't happen. I can't ever stay in a relationship it long term. No one in my family ever has, right? We say, I'll never amount to anything. I come from a long line of losers. I can never get out of the debt that I'm in. It's just my cross to bear. This is the way we see life. We see it in this way, but it's not true. It's a lie. It's a false image. And here's just, I'm going to close with this. 4 things I want you to remember. You are valuable. You are valuable. God sees you as worth dying for. That the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That God so loved the world that he gave his only life. And really the measure of something's value is what someone's willing to pay for it. And the Son of God was willing to lay down his life for you so you have value. I want you to know this. You're valuable. You matter. God's not mad at you. God has a good plan for you. He cares about you. You're valuable. Second thing is you're called. God's called us all. God's got a plan and a purpose for our life. I already quoted Jeremiah 29:11, that God already has a plan for your life, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. There's something that God's called you to do, and you need to seek him and follow him so you can walk that out. Third thing is you're talented, you're gifted. God doesn't call you and doesn't, you know, provide what you need to do what God's called you to do. You have gifts and talents that are fit for what God's called you to do. And sometimes we are so wanting someone else's gifts and we are so wanting someone else's talents. We want what other people have. Like as a pastor, I listen to a lot of other pastors, you know, preach. And I listen to them and I'm like, oh, I quit. Like these guys are just amazing communicators and I don't know where they get these ideas and thought. They're just like, it's to me, some other, and I'm like, I wish I could be more like that. I had to come to a place where I just realized that God created me to be who I am for the calling he has on my life, and I have to be me. I have to get up here every Sunday and preach the way God called me to preach. I got to say the words God's called me to say so that you can hear what God wants you to hear. I can't be someone else. That's their gift. That's their, like, I wish I could sing like my brother. I wish I could get up there and just lead people in worship the way he does. I love worship. I don't have that same gift. So sometimes I look and I think, boy, I wish I had his gift. But God's given me the gifts I need. God's giving you the gifts you need. Don't be jealous of other people's gifts. Just work at developing your own gifts. God's given you everything you need to do the life that he's called you to do, to live. And your life, the fourth thing is your life is spiritual and eternal. My dad passed away 13 years ago. And probably 1,000 people walked past his casket. But his life is going on. The impact of his life will go on to many, many generations. Like that thought that he had, right, it changed my life. And in turn, it changed my kids' life. And in turn, that'll change their kids' life. And we're trusting God that generation to generation will proclaim the praises of God, right? So our lives don't end when we end. Our lives are eternal. We have an eternal purpose. Plus, when we leave this life, we sometimes get discouraged here in this world and with the struggles we have. We go to heaven, it's all good. There's no more of this pain, no more struggle. We're just going to be with Jesus, looking face to face, right? Walk with him, talk with him. It's going to be beautiful. So there's just so much about you that you need to believe in, and you need to trust God can do something good through. I just want to challenge you. Get into God's Word this week. Memorize some Scripture. I was sitting with a guy the other day, and he was just telling me about some of the things God was doing in his life. And he said, well, I was reading my devotional and this Scripture, and then he's flipping through his phone trying to find the Scripture. I'm like, so why don't you memorize that? It was just one verse. Why don't you just memorize that? I think you just peel it off the top of your head. If it's impacting you that much, why don't you memorize it? Why don't we start to memorize Scripture, get it into our heart, let it grow in there, let it sink in there, let it change the way we think. All right? Lord.